want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host, Matt Halleck, and thank you for joining me. Yeah, I love that you are here. I love that you have found that the message and the lessons and the words that I have gotten life from are bringing you life as well. And this morning, I want to just open up and be a little bit raw with you guys out there and just share with you some of the stuff I've been learning in the middle of what has felt like some backtracking, some defeat, and I've really been being called up and out and being called to fight in spite of feeling like I am failing. In my life lately, I've had some pretty crazy and difficult circumstances arise, and it's not that is just me. That's you too. I know that your life also gets bombarded with crazy. But I know that as men in the kingdom, it's possible. And we are even required to find a path where the crazy of life does not mean that we therefore are feeling the crazy. It does not mean that we therefore are under stress, that we therefore are under duress, that we therefore are being shaken. It is possible for us to weather the storms of life and to walk on the water. Otherwise, there would have been no instance where Jesus called Peter out of the boat and onto the water. We would have no model of that to go by. But as a man, as a warrior, as a king in the kingdom, you have the privilege of getting to the place in God, to the place in your spirit, to the place in your mind where no matter what comes your way, you can stand up in its face and you can smile and say, I am okay. I am better than okay. I thrive on both blessing and adversity. And in fact, all adversity is blessing. And what you life, what you, Satan, try to throw at me as a curse, it is only a blessing. It only feeds me. It only puts muscle on these bones. It only builds strength and resilience in me. It only makes me more awesome for this day and the next day to come. And so anything you throw at me, it will backfire on you because it makes me more of the warrior and the king that I was created to be, that I am destined to be, and that nothing will keep me from becoming. I have been on a journey in recent years of becoming healthy in mind and in body and in soul. Not in spirit. My spirit is 100% healthy. My spirit is connected and one with the Father. It's one with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God dwells inside of me, and I'm one with Him. But I have brought into this relationship with Jesus a habit of thinking, several habits of thinking, that actually lead to unhealth, and that can inhibit the expression of the kingdom of God in my life. And so I've been on a journey of finding that health, of walking in it, of living in it, and it has been freeing. But in the last possibly, let's see, 2 to 3 months, my mind has been under some pretty heavy old patterns. And I could look around and blame circumstances. I mean, we have had circumstances happen. I got to tell you, my health physically has been under attack for 12 years. Just recently, about 9 months ago, I got my first full-time job in several years because my body was finally at a place where I could. And then after about 6 months on that job, my body started flaring, pain started happening. I started hardly being able to get out of bed. And I had to stop that job. And it was a major rock. It rocked our boat majorly, mine and my wife's, my family's. Because the fact that I had a steady income and was able to work was giving us hope, was giving us security. And then all of a sudden my body says, I'm gonna experience this sickness yet again. And we lost that steady income. And over the next few months, I started a GoFundMe for treatment because the things that I had been doing weren't working. And the things that we needed to try, insurance wouldn't cover. And so we just have been on this journey of treatment, of GoFundMe fundraising, of figuring out how to do life with me not always being able to get up and go in the day. And all of that, I'm not going to go into all the details, but all of that, that's a challenge to keep your mind fixed on Jesus through it all. And it doesn't have to be that struggle. It can be your own struggle in your own life. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you have a kid who is going down a path that's heartbreaking to you and you don't know what to do about it. Maybe you're addicted. Maybe you're stuck in pornography and you hate it and you hate yourself for it. Whatever it is, these struggles in life, they get to us sometimes and they tempt us to think outside of kingdom thoughts. They tempt us to start to attack ourselves. They tempt us to say, I'll never get this. I'll never grow. I'll never become the man that God has meant for me to be. I'll never become a rock star in life. And they tempt us to say, this thing in life will never get better. If only I could just have that job. If only I could have more money. If only I could connect with my wife. If only my kid would behave. If only this or that or the other thing, then I would be okay. And if we're not careful, before we know it, we can get so stuck in these crappy thoughts that we get pulled down and down and down, and we don't even recognize who we are anymore. And we're stuck in paralysis. And we're stuck waking up each day, nearly hating ourselves and wishing our lives were different instead of waking up each day, taking up a sword and a shield as a warrior and saying, no matter what comes today, I am stronger and I have already overcome because Jesus has overcome in and through me. There's a story, it's one of my favorite, from the book of 1 Samuel, and it's in chapter 14. Before this story starts, the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, had basically had their way with the Israelite people. In fact, the Bible says that they actually took away all of the weapons from the land of Israel so that none of the people had swords or anything like that, or spears or whatever anymore. And so it would appear at when the story in chapter 14 begins that really there's only a couple people in the entire nation that have anything to fight with. And even then, we're not for sure. It doesn't say that Jonathan himself had anything, but maybe he did. I don't know. Whatever the case, the Israelites were basically getting ravaged by the Philistines. They were humiliated. They were supposed to be the people of God, the promised people of God. This land was supposed to be theirs. And yet here they were, utterly shamed and humiliated and overrun by enemies whose gods were supposed to not even be real. Are you kidding me? Does this sound like you? It sounds like me sometimes. Like, God, aren't you real? Didn't you promise full health? Didn't you promise prosperity? Didn't you promise that I would be the head and not the tail, and that I would be subject to nothing because I would be master of everything because you would give me dominion? Didn't you promise to give me the keys to the kingdom? Didn't you promise to give me joy? Didn't you promise to give me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind? And yet here I am feeling stuck, like I have no experience of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Didn't you promise these things? I am utterly shamed and humiliated because my life is nowhere near as put together as Joe Schmo over there. He doesn't even know you. Sounds like us, guys. And so one day in chapter 14, Jonathan, who's the son of King Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, so he had an armor bearer, and he said to this guy, come, let's go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side. So Jonathan and his armor bearer are in the Israelite camp. They're camped against the Philistines, even though they have no weapons to fight with. They're maybe throwing up a desperate Hail Mary pass. Who knows? Who knows what they're thinking? But Jonathan says, hey, let's go over to their encampment. Just the two of us, me and you, armor bearer. But he didn't tell his father. His father, Saul, was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. So Jonathan is basically saying, hey, I don't know what anybody else in this camp, in our Israelite camp, is thinking, but you and me, armor bearer, you and me, let's go. And he may have been separating himself, cutting himself off from the faithlessness, from the despair, from the hopelessness, from the dragging themselves around with their heads hanging low, rest of the Israelite people, so that he could operate without all of that junk bogging him down. So he didn't even tell anybody that he had left because they probably wouldn't understand and they might just get in the way. But he, maybe, you've been here too. Maybe he had been asleep or he had been out, who knows, standing and watching something. And all of a sudden, he was awakened. He was visited by a thought of hope. Like, Like, what if God is not gone? What if I can do something here? And what if it is in my power to take up, to take action and to change this situation? Have you ever been there where in the middle of your distress and your hopelessness, you have this fleeting, flashing thought? Maybe it's a moment, maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes, where all of a sudden you have this vision of what could be. And the thoughts that say, no, not me, no, I could never do that, they are gone for a split second, and you have your head above water, and you say, oh, wait, what if I act on this? And maybe this was Jonathan. So he goes up to a rocky crag, and it overlooks the other rocky crag where the Philistines were. And he said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let's go over to the garrison of these Philistines. It may be, I don't even know for sure, but I had this inkling, this ray of hope, this split moment in time where I thought it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. Do you see? Do you see, men, that he didn't even know for sure? And you might have some thoughts of what you need to see happen in life. You might have a vision of something you should or could do. And you don't even know for sure if it's the right call. You don't even know for sure if it's a good call. You don't even know for sure if it's the Lord calling you. You don't even know. And you never will unless you try. You never will unless you risk and you actually take action. Don't get caught staying in a world of what if. What if I tried this? What if I were to do this? Who knows what would happen? Do not stay there. You, man, are called to move. You are called to action. Even before you know for sure whether you're going to get saved or not. Even before you know for sure whether you will win or not. Nobody changed the world by making sure all their ducks were in a row first. Nobody did anything of significance with the complete utter assurance that it would all work out. But you have to muster enough confidence in who you are, in who God has made you to be, and in who he is for you and in you to just get out and do the thing. That's why I'm here. Making a podcast episode for you. I'm just getting out and doing the thing. The ray of light thing that's in my heart to do. So Jonathan, he says, it may be, I don't know for sure, but possibly the Lord will work for us. Possibly if we go out and do this, if we step out of our boat and we walk on the water, it's possible he will make us stand on top of this water. Because nothing can hinder God from saving, whether it's by many or by few. And few means two of us against a whole army. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that's in your heart. Do as you wish, Jonathan. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. I want to suggest to you that this is a type of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. Jonathan does not represent Jesus in this. Jonathan represents you. You are the Jonathan. You are the one who has the ambition inside of you. It's not covered up yet. It's not gone yet. It's not disappeared yet. You are the one who doesn't know for sure whether the Lord will save you or not, but you are the one who will step out in faith. And in risk, in sea. And it is the Holy Spirit within you, the burning inside of you that is not quenched, that is not put out, that burns even still, that says, listen, man, listen, warrior, listen, king, do all that's in your heart. Everything that you are wondering whether you should go for it or not, whether you should pursue it or not, do it. Do as you wish. Do not sit there and wonder if I will be happy with you or not. Do not sit there and wonder if it's my will or not. Do not sit there and wonder if it's my timing or not. Just get out and do. Today is the day of salvation. Now it is high time for you to rise up and dust the boot, dust the dirt off of your boots, off of your sandals. Gird up your loins. Cinch up your belt. Strap on a pair of balls again and get out and do something. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. Sounds like Jesus saying, I am with you even until the end of the age, even until the end of the earth. I have overcome the world. And I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. It sounds to me like in Jeremiah where the Lord, he promises to prosper his people with all of his heart, with all of his soul. This is what God speaks over you. Do what's in your heart. So Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to those Philistines and we will show ourselves to them. This is his terrible battle plan. We're going to reveal ourselves, the two of us. And if they say, hey, wait until we come to you, then we're going to go ahead and stand still in our place and we will not go to them. Because that means that we're going to create this scenario. We're just going to say that that means that God isn't with us. We don't know for sure if it really does, but we're just doing this thing here. But he says, if they invite us, hey, come up to us, then we're going to go up, because this, we're just going to say, means that the Lord has given them into our hand. And this shall be the sign to us. So Jonathan didn't hear this from God. He's just saying, if these things happen, we are going to take it as meaning that God is either with us or he's not. Sounds like a crazy battle plan, but you know what? He is in a mode where he is just going to go. And I think God honors that. And maybe he didn't hear God say, hey, Jonathan, if they do this, I'm with you. And if they don't, I'm not. Maybe he didn't hear God say that. Doesn't mean that his heart is off or wrong or anything. He's okay. So he goes. They show themselves. The men say, hey, come up to us. We're going to show you something. It's just a crazy story. And that to Jonathan means, hey, come on, armor bearer. This means God has given them into our hands. So he climbed up on his hands and feet. His armor bearer came after him, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan. And his armor bearer killed them after him. And they killed about 20 men in that first strike. And then the entire camp of the Philistines panics. And even the raiders trembled, the earth quaked, and it was a very great panic. And what happened next was that the people in the camp of Israel who were scared and without weapons, they heard the commotion of what was going on. And they rallied and went into the battle. And apparently without weapons, but it says every Philistine's sword was against his own fellow. And there was great confusion. And even the Hebrew people, the Israelites, who had betrayed their own nation, who had joined the Philistines before, they also turned from their betrayal to join the Israelites again. So this single act of crazy, crazy faith by Jonathan and his armor bearer, by Jonathan with the backing of the Lord, rallied the rest of the men to fight. And it turned traitors into loyal countrymen once more. You have the opportunity to rally others. You have the opportunity to see people whose hearts have turned to turn back. Because if you step out, you set an example, you inspire, you move people to their own places of risk and faith. In victory.
Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. You have to move. You have to take action. Don't get stuck in those places of self-despair. You will be okay. That's it for this morning, gentlemen. That's my word to you this morning.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.